Welcome to the NJIOA 2025 Winter Retreat. In this workshop, we'll be discussing the big book chapter called Into Action. I'm delighted to introduce today's speaker to the group, Ingrid. Whenever you're ready, Ingrid, you can begin your presentation. You have 35 minutes. I'll mute myself if you want to tell the timer how you want to be timed. That would be great.
Okay, thank you. Everybody, I'm Ingrid, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic. And Esther, are you the timer? Okay, great. Could you please let me know at 20 minutes? I'm keeping some time myself here as I go through everything, but a 20-minute reminder would be great.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so again, I'm Ingrid. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. And it's really good to be here today and to be of service. I see some familiar faces, so that's always nice. I don't know if there's any newcomers on the call, but welcome to the newcomers or anyone who's returning. And also, I just really want to thank the committee because this and all the volunteers, this is really a lot of work to put this together, especially I would think in a Zoom online fashion. So thank you for all of that. And before I jump into action, I just want to share a little bit about my story. I came back to OA after a 10-year relapse in 2022. And by the grace of God, I've been recovered for almost 3 years now. It'll be 3 years later this month, one day at a time. And it was a really just coming back to these rooms. I was so desperate. It was a very dark time in my life. And I never, ever imagined that I would get to the place of depression, anxiety, waking, and not even know I was in relapse. It took outside help and a therapist pointing me back to these rooms to like, kind of wake me up from this stupor I had been in, that I had been in relapse. And I am just grateful for every single day of recovery. As far as like the physical part of my recovery, I'm down about 90 pounds. Most of that was released in the first year and of abstinence. And as someone who really, really struggled with vanity and wanting right to look a certain way and thinking that the perfect weight would be the solution to all my problems. I wanted all of the weight off right away, and I through this part of my recovery, I have learned that everything happens in God's time and God's way. I have a healthy food plan that works for me. I don't work out like a freaking maniac like I used to with the exercise bulimia. It's in moderation. I know what my alcoholic foods are, and I follow the program. I work the steps. I do what's asked of me and suggested in the big book, and I get to live a life in recovery, food neutrality, and again, just a real gift. So I was asked to talk about Into Action, and I felt like I really couldn't talk about this chapter without first touching upon the previous chapters since they all build upon themselves. And I really love the simplicity of the chapter titles. So like if I start with there is a solution, like there is one solution. And in that chapter, I learned that it's a spiritual solution. I'm not going to be given, a menu of options for me to choose from. And if you have your big book in front of you, if you could just turn to page 25, there is a solution. And I'm reminded that, when the big book was printed, anytime there are words in italics, that this is the cost of doing that then. It was labor intensive, it was expensive, and that this is a message that they're really trying to drive home. And so it says, there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for its successful consummation. but we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. And that simple kit of spiritual tools are the steps. And then in the next paragraph, the great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. And the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. And then in just this last paragraph that I want to touch upon, it's the reminder that, again, there is a solution. And if, it says, if you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. And if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best as we could. And the other was to accept spiritual help. And, there's a solution. It's spiritual. And, then in the next chapter on more about alcoholism, it talks about, tell me more about this disease and how sick I am as a compulsive overeater, and differentiates between the moderate, the hard, and the real compulsive overeater, or real alcoholic, as explained in the book. But I, look at that through the eyes of being a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And so, what I want to highlight there on page 42, and in the second paragraph, it says that they outline the spiritual answer and program of action, which 100 of them had followed successfully. Though I had been only a nominal churchman, the proposals were not intellectually hard to swallow. But the program of action, though entirely sensible, was pretty drastic. It meant I would have to throw several lifelong conceptions out of the window. That was not easy. But the moment I made up my mind to go through with the process, I had the curious feeling that my alcoholic condition was relieved, as in fact, it proved to be. Quite as important was the discovery that spiritual principles would solve all of my problems. And, again, just going back to the spiritual part of this program, when I walked into these rooms, I like to describe part of the way I like to describe my disease. One is I'm really sick, I have a soul sickness. And there is only one way, only one spiritual entity that has the ability to touch like that deep sickness within me. And that being a spiritual solution. And as someone who was raised in the church, I went to Sunday school, I did all the stuff. It just, in my disease, and not knowing a real about this disease in the way that the big book has described, I wasn't able to use the power as a source for me. In fact, I was agnostic, and I didn't think I believe I have a higher power. But what I didn't realize as a agnostic is that I don't rely on a power greater than myself to solve the problems that I face. And, that is food, and it's much bigger and greater than that. And so that leads to that chapter of we agnostics, and we know, the authors are telling us, we this is a, you know, there's a spiritual solution that is required. And I have to look at how God will work in my life. And I want to look at page 44 to 45, because this is really where I, it woke me up a bit. Again, I've had multiple awakenings in this program. But at the bottom of 45, it says if a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism or compulsive overeating, we would have recovered long ago. We found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed us utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where? And I think, like they say, obviously, because it, you know, we looked at like the moral codes and philosophical way of life did not work for me. So obviously, this is not working. Obviously, my human resource, as marshaled by my will, was insufficient. So how do I find this power? And that next paragraph tells me that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to find, to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And when I look at like my human will, it's gotten me very far as a competitive athlete. It's gotten me very far, you know, like in the professional world. It's taken me places. It is a strength. But when it comes to this disease, I have absolutely zero power. I may have a moment of like willpower, but can't do it without a power. I cannot put the food down. I cannot live in recovery without a power greater than myself. And then just quickly on the how it works, it's the program, right? How it works. Again, the simplicity of the titles in the big book. How does this program work? And provides explicit instructions, right? Goes into the 12 steps and tells me the three pertinent ideas that I have to, that they're making clear that one, I'm an alcoholic or food addict and I could not manage my own life. B, that no human power could have relieved my compulsive overeating or alcoholism, and that God could and would if he were sought. Then moves into, you know, step three and step four. And before I go into the step five, which Into Action covers, on page 70, it talks about this being the bottom of page 70. In this book, you read again and again that faith did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced that God can remove whatever self-will you has blocked you off from him. If you've already made a decision, that's step three, and an inventory of your grosser handicap, step four. You've made a good beginning. And I was like, what the heck do they mean I've made a good beginning? Like, wasn't that enough for me to look at my resentments, the fears, the sex conduct, and you know, how all of those roads led to me and a good beginning. So that is like taking me into this critical chapter of step 5 through 11, which is Into Action. And as I go through Into Action, The themes that I take away from this chapter are honesty and getting honest with myself and with others about who I am. I'm no longer hiding behind the stage character. I've got to get really honest. Humility, accepting like who I am and that I'm powerless, not only over this disease, but over the character defects that I have. Acceptance of myself and of others, living life on life's terms, the willingness to turn this over to a power greater than myself because I cannot do this on my own, and asking God to remove those defects of character, taking responsibility. I have lived a life where I have not taken responsibility for my actions. And so as I look at the people that I've harmed, and making amends to those individuals and taking responsibility. And equally as important, because all of the steps are very important, but like, how do I live a spiritual life? It talked about the previous chapters, there is a solution, and more about alcoholism and being agnostic and how the program works. But I have to learn how to live a spiritual life, because if I don't know how to live a spiritual life, if I can't stay in the spiritual solution, I will inevitably pick up again. And I know this not only because, well, yeah, I've read it, but I've lived it. I talked about the 10-year relapse, and that was me out on my own thinking that I could, not work this program as suggested. Maybe I don't have to attend as many meetings. Maybe the whole prayer meditation thing is not as important. I'll just do it when I can. I don't, no, I'm not going to call my sponsor. I'll wait until things look better for me. I don't want to have to be honest right now. I'll stop sponsoring people. None of that ever worked. And I ended up right back in the food. So I'm 72, page 72 in our big book, Into Action. And I'm just going to read the first part of this, just page 72 to 73. Having, and I'm sorry, if I could ask, is it possible to have someone read along with me, or is that not allowed, like to have someone read the
I'll
first
read
couple
with
of
you,
paragraphs.
Ingrid. I'll read
Thank
Helen.
you. Alice, okay, could you
Allison.
please read the first paragraph through the first line on page 73?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you. I'm Allison, a
Thank you.
compulsive overeater. We're on page 72, the beginning of the chapter, Into Action. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We have admitted certain defects. We have ascertained, in a rough way, what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in the program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. This is perhaps difficult, especially discussing our defects with another person. We think we have done well enough in admitting these things to ourselves. There is doubt about that. In actual practice, we usually find a solitary self-appraisal insufficient. Many of us find us, sorry, many of us thought it was necessary to go much further. We will be more reconciled to discussing ourselves with another person when we see good reasons why we should do so. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk.
Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their housekeeping, house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves, but they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Thank
Thank you
you.
so much. Thank you for reading that. I heard a speaker once share that there's no chapter called Into Thinking. It's Into Action. And as you read, as was read, I only thought that I had lost my egoism and fear. I only thought that I had humbled myself. And
Andrew, that's
this,
20 minutes.
thank you. Thank you so much, Esther. This is a reminder that it's a program of action. And again, when I looked at my fourth step and all roads that led to me, it was a lot. And that not only that was it a lot to for me to accept that about myself, but that I had to go tell someone, right? Again, going back to in the big book, when there's the italics, I have to tell someone all my life story, all of it. And that, why? If I don't do it, I'm going to drink, I'm going to eat again. And so, and I love the saying that we are as sick as our secrets. Because as a person who can be dishonest, I'm reminded that if I'm keeping something to myself, lying by omission, I'm sick and I need to share that with someone. So then it talks about after where we just stopped reading, the actor, the stage character that I present, that's who do I think you want me to be? Who do I need to be? Which, I can't let you see the truth about me, because, and in that, that drives that fear of being found out, because I know that I'm not showing up as my authentic self. So in step five, and picking the right person, for me, I chose my sponsor. I had developed a relationship with my sponsor, and this is a woman that I began to trust from the very beginning. This was a woman who had recovered using the steps. I know some people may choose another person, and the big book says that's okay. It's the fact that we need to turn this over. And I was able to do that with my sponsor. And one of the experiences that I felt like was important in this fifth step are the promises that are given to us on page 75. Oftentimes in reading in meetings, we'll read the ninth step and the 10th step promises, but there are fifth step promises. And on page 75, those promises says that we pocket our pride, that we're able to look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We began to have a spiritual experience. And the feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We felt we were on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And in my experience in working these steps with the food down, the food had to be down, the behaviors had to start to change, because without it, I could not, there is no way to this experience. I'm not aware of any alcoholic that says, I'm just gonna have a little sip of this, just enough to get me by. I can't do that with my alcoholic foods. And putting the food down and following these steps As instructed in the big book, those promises certainly came true for me. We move into step six and seven, and these are like really, really meaty steps, and there's only two paragraphs. And at first I just kind of thought like, oh, there's only two paragraphs here, but really, the big book describes this as being step six on page 76, the willingness, step six, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. And to be indispensable is impossible, means it's impossible to do without. But I have to be willing in this program, not only with this step, but willing throughout. And we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So, what are those things that all those things we have admitted are objectionable? What are the things that I find in myself that are objectionable? And am I ready to let my higher power remove these from me? And as I worked the steps and looked at all of this, I absolutely wanted them removed. And this was, I had to be, and my sponsor warned me to be very careful while taking this step because it is illuminating to look at all the stuff that I have been hiding and all the parts of self that I find objectionable and that I just as an addict, please freaking take it away. I want ease and comfort. And it doesn't happen that way. Like, not like some of it God removed, quickly. Some of it I still face today. And part of me believes that the reason why it's not just all my defects of self, character defects and parts of self that I find objectionable aren't removed right away is because why would I need a higher power? Like, I'd be like, thank you very much. I'm out of here, And I believe that that is one of the reasons why the step talks about the willingness, right? And in step seven, the prayer, my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. So, as I read prayers in the big book, one of the things I came to realize is that these prayers are not about my ease and comfort. This is about how can I be useful to others? How can these removal of these defects of character be useful? And so now, like, I've got the momentum, right? I have power. I've made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God. I've been honest. There's humility. I'm accepting myself as I am, but I have to keep going. And step eight and nine, faith without works is dead. And so making a list of the people that I had harmed, right? And that I don't, we've all done harm. I've done plenty of harm in my life. When I came back to these rooms, I realized that there's like the obvious harms, and then there are the more subtle ones, the ones for me of like how I showed up in my marriage, not completely like present and available. I have, for me, much of my disease, I act in. So there's not. I don't have a lot of moments where I can look back at where I'm like screaming and I'm raging and, it's all within. I rage in, I act in. And as a result of that, I can't show up and be the wife that I desire to be, the mom that I desire to be, the, employee that I desire to be. So looking at those harms and being really thorough about that. I know, I'm sorry, Essa, can I just have one quick check-in on how much time I have?
Yes, you have 6 minutes.
Oh my goodness, 40 minutes is fast. Okay, I'm going to talk about one amendment that I made just real quickly in step
Is it
nine.
40 minutes or 35?
It's 40 is my understanding.
Oh, then you have, say
No,
11
sorry.
minutes. Oh, did
Sorry,
we change it?
it's 35. 35. 35, that's the.
Okay,
Then,
thank you. I
sorry
thought it
about
was
that,
forty.
Elizabeth.
My apologies. Okay, I'm going to run through this one amend that I made in step nine. It was really a transformational experience for me. That was with my dad. I had a lot of resentments, so many resentments against my dad. And unfortunately, he died while I was in my disease. I did not have an opportunity to make amends to him while he was living. And I wrote a letter. And as I reflected upon his experience as a child who grew up without a mother and the father that was very mean. So I resented my dad for not loving me the way I thought that he should love me. And as I look back and put myself in his shoes, him being a child, growing up a motherless child and without love, maybe he just didn't know how to show it. And so I share that example because there was freedom in that, even though I wasn't able to have like a face-to-face conversation. And my dad left this earth and died due to dementia. So I don't even know if can't look back on that. But there still is a way to go through this process of making amends and experience peace and freedom. And today I really am at peace. Oh gosh, running out of time. So I'm just going to talk about step 10 and 11 and just continuing to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. And so step 10 is on page 84. And there are different ways you may hear people in their rooms talk about having step 10 partners, giving away step 10. I've practiced step 10 in different ways, or have used different tools, I should say, that have worked. And I'm going to continue. This tells me I have to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And when they crop up, not if, but when. And this is on page 84 in the second full paragraph. Then I ask God to remove them. And I discuss with someone immediately and make amends quickly if I have harmed anyone. And, I live in step 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. That inventory keeps me honest. And then just really quickly on step 11,
Excuse me,
there
Ingrid,
are.
could I interrupt you and let you take as much time as you would like? It's fine. We are
Oh.
very interested in hearing your beautiful story. We have lots of time. We have another 20 minutes. Please continue.
Okay.
Relax. We
Thank
want to
you.
hear all about these important steps right now. You're doing a
Thank
great job,
you.
and you weren't prepared for the time it took to read, so please keep going.
Oh, thank you so much, Allison. I
Thank you.
appreciate that. I guess my anxiety is coming across really strong, but
No, not at
thank you
all.
for that. I really appreciate it. And I do want to hear from others. So I really am going to try to wrap this up quickly. So I've already talked about step 10, but step 11, thank you. I'm glad I have more time to talk about prayer and meditation. I could not stay in recovery. I mean, all of the steps again are important, but step 11 on prayer and meditation. Thankfully, my sponsor, before I even got to step 11, one of the things I was, one of her requirements is 30 minutes of prayer meditation daily. And I, with my sponsees, I affectionately refer to this as quiet time. And I know step 11 says explicitly prayer and meditation and the quiet time involving prayer and meditation. But sometimes when people return to the rooms or they're new to the rooms or whatever the story may be, prayer and meditation can be difficult. And, for some, what may come to mind is like, oh, I got to sit in a dark room with meditative music and light incense and a candle and sit there quietly for 30 minutes. That's really hard. That was hard for me. The first time that I sat quietly to like try to quiet my mind, my chest was so tight. I was sitting alone. I felt like I had an audience. No one was in the room with me, but my chest was so tight and I was so anxious. And all I could do was set a timer for a minute. That's all I had, just a minute, and I just breathe. And as I started to do that, I slowly felt the nearness of my creator, who I refer to as God. And that chipped away at the anxiety that I had around the unreasonable expectation that I created for myself. No one defined it for me of what I thought a prayer meditation life should look like. It's about my intention. So do I sit down and intend to make a conscious contact with my higher power? Absolutely. And I love that the Big Book provides specific instructions on how to do this. When we retire at night on page 86 to 88, this gives the daily instruction. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day and look at all those questions. I do that on a daily basis. I have a nightly review partner. I answer these questions and we share in our recovery. We provide feedback to one another. And then on awakening, it never ceases to amaze me that I wake up oftentimes in self-pity, with self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Like just the fact that I, read this and like, I need to be making conscious contact like shortly after opening my eyes, because that is where my head goes. And I have found it very useful to read on Awakening 86 to 88 on a daily basis, just as a foundation for a really strong meditation, prayer and meditation routine or life. I will just close with I love the last part on page 88, at the bottom of 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. We alcoholics, compulsive overeaters, are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. And then goes into the next chapter of working with others. And so I really like that last part because I spent a lot of time trying to control, manage, fix, eat, all of it, trying to make life fit into what I thought it should be. And I don't have to do that today. I get to rest. I don't tire easily. I don't burn up energy foolishly. And that is because of these critical steps of into action. Steps 5 through 11. So, with that, I will close. Thank you so much for letting me speak today. Hope that I shared something that was useful, for all of you.
Great. Thank you so much. A lot of useful things for sure. So, Ingrid, thank you for your wonderful presentation, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today.